Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Nobody does it better. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Bring you into the Hockey Central studios as we get closer and closer to the NHL trade deadline, February 29th on Sportsnet. Looking forward to it. And this is the week where we're going to start seeing things get shaken up a little bit around the National Hockey League. You always get that first trade, usually about 3 weeks out. Break the ice.
We've had them already.
And let's go.
We've had them already.
Darren Millard here with John Shannon and Scott Morrison. Going to chat about an incredibly busy weekend in the NHL. Hockey Day in Canada. Triple header on Saturday. And we also going to chat about what's going on with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Another injury to tell you about as they get set for the Anaheim Ducks. Montreal Canadiens win back-to-back. How much significance do you put in those two victories, Scott?
Well, they had to stop the bleeding. I guess they were the better team, certainly, against the Oilers on Saturday. They had a bit of their old mojo back, especially once they got up 2-0. The legs started moving. They're free flow again. And they obviously created some offense for a change because they don't score a ton of goals. And then against Carolina, I think you could safely say that Carolina was the better team for large parts of that game. But they found a way to battle through. Ben Scrivens was outstanding in goal. Closed it right down in the shootout, and they win it with...
He played both games. Were you surprised?
Not after he won on Saturday. You had to come back with him. I wasn't surprised at all. And, you know, you've got to try and create a hot hand situation there because neither goalie was dreadful for Canadians, but they were allowing 3-plus a night, and you need somebody to get on a roll and steal you some points, and that's what he did on the weekend.
Don't you run him until he's done now?
Absolutely. Yeah. You got to come back with them tomorrow night against Tampa and play it, see what happens after that.
Are you any more optimistic or is there a lot more?
I'm not overly, unless this one really triggers a reaction from them and you see the confidence. Because after winning and beating Edmonton the Saturday, they come back on Sunday and you thought they could build some off that momentum and come out with a great start and they didn't. And they could have been put away in that first period. One power play alone, Hurricanes had two posts, and Eric Staal missed a wide-open net. They could have been buried in that period, but they weren't, and to their credit, they battled.
I think the key thing you said, Carolina was the better team yesterday.
Yeah.
Almost all 60 minutes. That, to me, was a big part of the frustration if you're a Canadiens fan, because they did show some momentum on Saturday. They did show some real quality plays on Saturday, and then Sunday... It was almost like back to where they were when they weren't very good. I liked the defense on Saturday. I didn't like the defense very much yesterday. So to me, that's the frustration. But they were able to, as you said, Scotty, stop the bleeding. And if they can stop the bleeding, then perhaps with a much better test against Tampa tomorrow, who are playing better.
Yeah. Their speed was back in their game Saturday.
It
the
was.
Defense was joining the rush. And that's the way they played at the start of the season. And with good goaltending.
3 points out behind the Pittsburgh Penguins, who play one of their three games in hand tonight. So it is an uphill climb for the Montreal Canadiens.
Because everybody ahead of them has games in hand.
Carey Price looked like he was more aggressive after the shocking video on Wednesday, where he was laboring around the ice. Looked much better Thursday, Friday. A little more aggressive. I looked
but
to Mark Bergevin.
But hold on. Hit a rut in front of the net yesterday, and then you had to wonder, oof, did something else happen? That, to me, was the one concern I think that you had.
Because you could tell he was really, really frustrated after. He was just backing in. He caught that rut, and then he went for a little skate and fired a puck into the boards. He was really frustrated, so you hope there's not a setback there.
It doesn't look like it. I mean,
who knows?
You don't
know what
didn't
he's feeling.
Fall
but...
or anything. Yeah, I can see where no,
but
be,
you have to be
concerned. But
yeah, I mean... we're talking, that's a practice without any equipment on. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine if he's playing in a game and that happens. I mean, that I'm surprised he's not wearing more equipment. I really am. I mean, that's the one thing, because it's not as if when you're a skater, I mean, your skates, your gloves, your helmet, and your stick. I mean, you can still get some cardio in practice. You can still get everything going. But the amount of lateral movement, the amount of ups and downs you need, particularly with all your goaltending equipment on, I mean, I'm really quite shocked that he's not wearing
more. Doing some ins and outs and some shuffles, but there's no down and pushes across. I think Mark Bergevin is going to be this guy to get this trade stuff happening. I really do. There's certainly a school of thought where people believe
you don't think he has to make a decision for a bigger decision first
on whether they're in or out.
Yeah.
Well, I do. Whether the goalie's coming back. When is the goalie coming back?
But again, that's part of that process.
Yeah.
I mean, once they
decide
that.
I think he's the first step, and then you can make a determination if you're going to have a shot to get him.
Yeah. Jeez, I just don't see, when you're 3 points out or 4 points out, that the Montreal Canadiens say, we're not in. I don't see that from that franchise. From where they were coming into the season.
A lot of the media in Montreal are saying that.
But they've run out of other things to write.
That they don't look like a player.
Arian's not going anywhere.
That was before this weekend. Yeah. So you see if you can get on. I think he's kind of got a week to make up his mind.
I was going to say, ask us Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, they could be 7 points.
Are you back on Friday?
I am back on Friday.
Are you back on Friday?
No, I'm not.
Can you send a text?
Yeah, I'll call him.
No, we should call. We're going to call.
Yeah, we'll talk.
We'll talk. Okay, we're going to phone him. We're going to have Scotty on. Now, what happens to this show Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Is it still on?
It is.
Okay, just
takes a slightly different.
Wasn't sure.
Theme. Much louder. Darren Millard, along with Scott Morrison and John Chen. You ailing?
What? I was yelling at Cam Newton too much last night.
That was a terrible football game.
No, I disagree.
I enjoyed it.
I disagree. It was.
Everybody's saying it was a bad game, but we talked about it just before. It had a lot of interesting elements to it.
Twists and turns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two pretty good defenses.
No execution.
Because of the defenses?
Yeah, because of the defenses. Anyway, I was yelling at Cam. Not happy.
What'd you think of his performance afterwards?
Well, yeah.
But bad. A little petulant.
Well.
How's he not jump on that ball?
I don't know. Is this Football Central?
No, I I haven't
been
able
to. It was a bad day for the Carolina
teams,
John.
Have this conversation yet.
Yeah. The Hurricanes didn't lose as bad as the Panthers yesterday.
What do you want to talk about, your 50 Shades of Grey performance?
No.
On Tim and Sid?
Nope.
Can we get that clip?
No.
If it's embargoed.
It's embargoed.
John Shannon.
He was showing it
last
off yesterday.
on Tim and Sid on Friday.
Oh. Sorry, John.
Thanks, Scotty, your pal.
The Toronto Maple Leafs on the subject and the Edmonton Oilers. I'd like a mulligan on that one from Friday. Talking about whether or not they could be the team to go on a magical run.
What a weekend.
13-2.
Incredible.
13-2. Both, and it wasn't as if one player was bad and goaltending was not very good either day. There were 20 players bad both days. Connor McDavid showed some signs of brilliance in both games, but man, it was, if I'm Todd McClellan today with an off day in New York, I wouldn't be happy. I just they play New Jersey tomorrow night. It's Martin Brodeur night. That's an awful way to spend the weekend. Just an awful way. They had nothing yesterday. And mind you, the Islanders were pretty impressive.
As I was watching the Oilers game yesterday, thinking they've got the Super Bowl last night. They probably had a team function to go watch the game somewhere together. But like, how much as a professional athlete do you carry over to a big social evening like that last night when you've just had your lunch handed to you in back-to-back days?
And they've got today off, actually, in Manhattan. It's one of their mandatory
rest days. It's a terrible, I mean, it's a bad situation.
Better play guilty tomorrow night.
You know, it's funny because when they came east previous time, they were so bad in Carolina, if you remember, that they didn't do very well. And then they came to Toronto after that and were just, Terrell, that was Garrett Sparks night, if you recall.
And that was the game that I thought was going to trigger some moves.
Well,
some big moves from their roster to try and address
what
the defense. And that I thought that was going to be the night that would instigate a big piece being moved out for a defenseman. And it didn't happen.
No.
And they kind of got back on the positive side of the ledger for a while.
Darnell Nurse was a healthy scratch yesterday.
Yeah, we're back to that stage.
Maybe. Well, I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs, Darren. I know it's hard to believe. So they have 3 weeks to figure out whether they want to move one of those big parts. It doesn't help that Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is hurt. Because one way or the other, whether he was a contributing member or was he a trading block, on the trading block, I mean, you wonder about a guy like Eberle. You wonder about a guy like Pouliot, if they can trade that contract. You wonder about a guy about like Justin Schultz, if with an expiring contract, mm-hmm. albeit he's still a restricted free agent, I believe, that they're in one of those situations where I think that other than their core guys, and you can figure out who they are, I mean, everybody should be available.
Is there not a fit with Hamonic there? With the Oilers and the Islanders?
Like what? Who do you want? Honestly, if you're Garth Snow, who...
You wouldn't take some punch up front?
I liked them pretty well yesterday. I mean, they had Tavares and Strome together. They had Nielsen and Opposo together. Then they had Josh Bailey on the third line. They were
don't
pretty
get
good.
Seduced by that yesterday.
I think that, you know, with Boychuk back, because Boychuk missed 11, mm-hmm. he played Saturday and Sunday. Boychuk back, you know, Thomas Greiss played really well yesterday. I mean, maybe the Islanders are cruising for now, but if they get in the playoffs, and that's a big if right now because the Metropolitan Division is quite crazy, the Islanders are scary, I think. I really do. Their defense can be so good. And Travis Hamonic is part of that, and I don't think... I mean, Garth Snow, I know that Hamonic has, it's all, you know, he wants out. He wants to move to Western Canada, and that's, you know, I respect him for that. But I don't expect this to happen until the draft. I really don't.
A lot of people agree with you, John.
I mean, and why would you do
it? Because of the injuries, Garth's hands were tied to begin with. Mm-hmm. And to your point, you want to have that quality depth if you think your team, if you get in there, can be a tough team to play, and I think they would be. So yeah. I'm not sure I would be making that move, and a lot of people think it's an off-season move.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Darren, but I don't know how the Islanders get better getting anybody from Edmonton. I don't know how they get better.
Is Winnipeg in that mix? How much are they in the mix?
That's a good question.
But
and
they have to deal with the Trouba situation, I think, first.
Trouba lad Byfuglien situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it sure sounds like Byfuglien. They're going to do everything they can to re-sign him. But if you're talking Hamonic, you got to deal with Trouba and figure out whether he's there long-term or whether he's not.
Absolutely.
Interesting comments from Mike Babcock of the last week regarding concussions and the role that the spotters play and the doctors play. And Tyler Bozak was moved out of the lineup on Saturday night after taking a hit to the head in the first period. This is Babcock. Said the doctor made the decision. I wanted him to stay and play on the power play, but that's why they have other people making the decision, not the coach.
He's right.
Yes.
And you know what? You better acknowledge that you're right. I fully suspect that there were some comments made on Thursday about concussion issues and who decides
this
what.
This is going to the Weidman scenario?
This is part of the Weidman, the post-Weidman event. And as usual, Mike has comments about everything in hockey because he's Mike Babcock and he's the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it got covered here. We talked briefly about it on Friday. But the world has changed when it comes to concussion protocols. The Players Association have bought in on it. The league has bought in on it. There are lawsuits pending with retired players about concussions in many sports. And you know what? You better get used to how concussions are dealt with, and they're out of your hands at points. And if you don't like it, tough. Tough.
Yeah, I don't know what, if anything, he meant by the comment, but at the end of the day, the fact of the matter is that it's beyond a coach or an assistant coach to make the determination of whether a player should and can stay in a game.
I mean, I still think it's a problem that one of the spotters is a paid employee of the team, because most of the time they use the trainer. And I have a ton of respect for every trainer in this league, but at some point you have to remove that level of conflict of interest. I mean, are you doing what's best for the player, or are you doing what's best for the team that employs you? And I mean, if the coach is having these issues like Mike is, what's to say the trainer doesn't? And again, I have utmost respect for every
But you
trainer.
Mentioned buy-in.
Yeah, he's got to buy into it.
Didn't sound like there was buy-in with the Weidman.
No, it didn't. But as I said, I truly believe, and Dave Festjak wrote it in the Toronto Star on Friday, which I think, you know, triggered a lot of the reaction, that you know, Mike, hey, Mike, the world has changed. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody from the league, whether it be a lawyer or whether it be Bill Daly or Colin Campbell, phoned and said, hey, listen, Mike, you better watch yourself, because that's going to be fodder in some lawsuit someday. And you can't do that. That's a problem, you know. And we used to joke with Brian Burke when he was here about, you know, Big Blue and the you know, Big Blue disease. I'm kind of afraid that Mike's got a little bit of the Big Blue disease, in that, you know, he's starting to really think that everything he says is really important all the time. And to me, that's
but it is made out to be important because of
that's
medium mushroom.
That's living in this bubble here in this city, and it's a problem. But at the same time, I mean, you have to conform to what's a bigger issue, and that's player safety, player health, and the repercussions of concussions. I mean, heck, look at Ryan McDonagh, the Rangers. You know, got sucker punched by Wayne Simmonds on Saturday. He is not playing. They will not, and the Rangers will not put a date when he comes back, because they're still not sure how concussions work.
Rangers and Devils tonight on Game Center Live, and Ryan McDonagh is out of the lineup.
And not to speak for Mike, but he may have been simply stating that coach's first instinct is you want your best players on the ice, but it's a good thing that you have a protocol, and there's other people around you to make those decisions.
Scotty, I hope you're right.
Yeah, I
hope you're right. I mean,
he's a smart guy.
Yes, he is. He is.
It didn't seem like much of a punch, though.
No,
from Simmonds to McDonagh.
No, well, I think.
Okay, and Twitter, give it to me.
Yeah.
Say,
no.
I'll punch you in the face like that and see how well you respond.
It'd be a lineup around the block.
Yeah, forget about Twitter. Well, people in
just,
the room.
Just this room?
Yeah.
Who would go first?
He will get out of the building.
Oh, wait till Tuesday.
I don't know who would go first. That's a bit of a question. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there's no contest. Who's going first?
You want me first, because I don't pack a punch. So I'll get you warmed up.
Tyler Bozak coming back on Saturday wasn't going to change a thing.
No,
if he played in the power play. That was bizarrely uncompetitive. It was almost what you expected to be the majority of the games this year, but didn't happen. But you had a team that was struggling so much against a team that worked hard, and it wasn't even close.
Well, particularly after what the Senators did on Thursday night.
Yeah.
I mean, the Senators it was a reverse. The Senators were doing the job of the Maple Leafs, because they were so bad against Edmonton. And anything Edmonton did on Thursday night worked. And it looks like the team meetings for the Senators players. And
meetings.
Well, there was more than one.
I know.
There was more than one. It looked like they worked in the short term. And I think
they needed their Outlook calendar to keep up.
Give Dave Cameron some credit. Again, we talked about on Friday, Darren, about what Cameron's role was. He was going to let the players talk about it. It was not time to yell. Well, he was right in the short term. He was right in that situation not to go in and be a fire-breathing dragon. But he was there to support. And obviously it paid off in some level.
Ottawa tonight against Tampa Bay. Can they keep it going? Detroit against Florida in an Atlantic Division showdown. And Detroit's just clinging.
What are you giggling about over there? Story came back to mind, and John probably remembers it too, is that years ago there was an Oiler got hit and had his bell rung, and the trainer came back to the bench and told the coach, Bob McCammon. He says, he doesn't know who he is. And McCammon said to him, tell him he's Wayne Gretzky.
That's right.
Now, you try and say that,
oh,
and it erupts.
Oh, yeah.
The three stars of the week are out.
Are they?
In the National Hockey League. Mm. I don't always mention the three stars, but this one is of some significance to us as it relates to Hockey Central at noon. Sidney Crosby, going. Eric Karlsson, cranking it up. And Vincent Trocheck,
who was
with us on Friday.
Absolutely.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
And revealed to the masses that he grew up as a neighbor to Jaromír Jágr when he lived in, when Jágr was in Pittsburgh, and used to trick-or-treat at Jaromír Jágr's
house. He and Brandon Saad buddies. Yeah.
So. And now he plays with Jaromír Jágr, and he is one of the three stars of the week, leads the Florida Panthers.
And I want to thank all those people that sent us links to the Chainsmokers.
Yes. His go-to band right now is the Chainsmokers. Yeah. When he dropped that one on the show, silence.
Yeah. It's a good band. We can't play it.
No.
But it's a good band.
There's some issues with the video.
Issues?
You got all their albums?
Albums. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the turnaround in Pittsburgh, and Alexander Ovechkin makes history. Is this the year of the long leash for head coaches in the NHL? We'll find out. Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet, and the NHL Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Rolling along on Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard with John Shannon, who's looking very sharp with that haircut. I'm getting texts coming in.
I am not.
John Shannon, looking hip.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's that, from the clothing police?
Doug McLean.
Oh,
actually, no, Clark McLean. Clark McLean. His son. And Scott Morrison also here on Hockey Central at noon. Of significance, Eric Karlsson is now the second highest point producer in the NHL as a defenseman. He's 20 points behind Patrick Kane, but a defenseman. If Patrick Kane's not having this career year, you might be having the discussion that a defenseman could lead the NHL in point production.
You know, the ebbs and flows of a season. Like Eric Karlsson, I really felt bad for him Thursday night. He was on an island by himself. Ended up, I think, -3 against the Oilers. Not much he could do about it. They were not very good. So
much discussion about how he pushes the envelope and gambles too much. He's a plus player. You'd expect with all the conversation about how he takes too many risks that he would be in the minus area.
He's a great player. Let's make no mistake about it. He plays on a team that, you know, doesn't give him very much help in the defensive zone. That's the issue. They're a fun team to watch simply because you don't know what's going to happen. Do you? I mean, really?
They're the most exciting team to watch. Most entertaining team to watch.
I was going
to
say. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe not for the coach.
I was going
to. You might argue that one.
11 goals this year, only one on the power play. So, Eric Karlsson, just wanted to recognize his accomplishments.
Oh, by the way, apparently Sidney just started playing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first half of the season he wasn't in the league. He obviously.
John, there was major concern there.
I know.
Major concern.
That's why it's an 82-game schedule. Just be patient. A guy like
Why?
Yeah. Just be patient with a guy like Crosby. He's so good. You know he's so good.
You can't be patient anymore. They fired the coach. No, Anaheim, Minnesota, Montreal, they're kind of a rarity right now.
Montreal, in the sense, nothing's going to happen to Montreal.
In the Mark sense Bergevin's that they're not firing coaches.
Bergevin's already told us. But, boy, has Sid been great. Two most improved teams the second half of the season might be Anaheim, Pittsburgh.
They're playing tonight.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to watch.
So what do you think is different with Sidney from the start of the year to now when he's got these streaks going?
I'd love to think here and said I do like the Hagelin trade. I do like the fact that they were able to move a couple of bodies out and put Carl Hagelin in that lineup. It seems that both of those teams, you know, Hagelin basically for Perron seems to have helped both sides.
Financially, though, you took term and gave up an expiring contract.
And this is not a knock, but are you surprised that Jim Rutherford ever does that?
No.
I mean, ever? I mean, Jim doesn't seem to mind term or money when it comes to
because if they didn't fix it, term wouldn't matter anyway.
Right.
Because they had to get this thing going. It's interesting that Sid did not throw Johnson under the bus by any stretch of imagination, but he did say the coaching change, and that's, I guess, what general managers hope for, did provide kind of a reset. The guys have to step up and prove themselves, and, you know, somebody else has taken the fall, taken the blame. You've got to show that you're responsible for it too. And I think he felt his game, he was challenged, he stepped up, and he said too, when the team plays better, individually you play a lot better as well.
Now, no Letang tonight, or sorry, no Malkin tonight.
Malkin tonight.
Which, I don't know how much of a concern that will be for them.
Ducks and Penguins, 7 o'clock tonight on Sportsnet. The Penguins made the coaching change, but Anaheim didn't. Minnesota hasn't. Montreal says they won't.
Yeah.
In past years, I think you probably would have saw at least two of the three make a coaching change. Why a longer leash?
Well, I mean, every situation's a different story, isn't it? I mean, Anaheim, they overhauled a third of the roster. So maybe you afford the coach the benefit of the doubt that it takes some time to get that group molded as a team. You'd never predict that your best player, Getzlaff, would not score, have one or two goals, what, how many games into the season? So that was also a factor in the coach's defense. Montreal, you lose the league MVP and your best player, and all of a sudden you realize that some of the holes you thought weren't as bad anymore are, meaning not having the quality down the middle, short on the right side, maybe not as deep defensively, and not having the next level of goaltending to patch things up. How do you hang that on Michel Therrien?
Anaheim went 1-7-2 its first 10 games. They scored 10 goals in 10 games. So if you look at their numbers now, when you consider 1-7-2, that makes them basically 24-11-5. They've been pretty good after that 10-game stint. And I do like what Bob Murray said.
They changed their whole philosophy, how they approached the game.
Right, but I do like what Bob Murray said at that point early in the season. He was not going to let the players off the hook. And I actually think that somehow, some way, that's exactly what Chuck Fletcher's done in Minnesota for the second time, really for the second time in Mike Yeo's tenure. You know, remember after the tantrum, and then they seem to turn it around
as
well.
But they've usually made a trade. Minnesota,
well, Chuck wants to get him some offensive help.
Well, to turn his teams around. And they're adamant right now saying the players better figure this out.
Well, yeah. And when you consider healthy scratch Zucker, healthy scratch Vanek Saturday in St. Louis, I mean, those are, you know, big players to be sitting in the press box and being made accountable. So you'd have to hope that the right message is getting through. I mean, I think Chuck Fletcher is one of the bright young general managers in the league, has done a great job in constructing on paper what looks like a pretty good hockey club. And once they solved their goaltending issue with Devan Dubnyk, it was a totally different situation. And to me, Ryan Suter is always the most underrated defenseman in the league and never gets respect for the Norris Trophy. But at the same time, I mean, it's still a team sport. Mikko Koivu has had a pretty good season this year. But there seems to be just something missing there again, and that's a big issue. Yeah, Jonas Brodin not playing is a key. That's a good point. But I mean,
thank you, producer Matt.
There were times this season when you thought Brodin was on the block as well. They thought that they were going to have to get something. They were going to have to give something up, and Brodin was going to be that guy.
But Chuck has said that he is working hard on the phones to try and conjure up something to get some offensive help.
You know what? A team that
on defense is where he has something to trade, but now he's got injuries on defense as well. So that throws a wrench into
it. A team that may be kicking tires for a goaltender is the Washington Capitals, who may have to go out and get some experience.
Why?
Behind Braden Holtby. Because
You don't like Philip Grubauer?
No, not right now. They play Holtby 3 and 4. They're riding them, and you see what Carey Price.
Absolutely. For the same reasons Montreal probably feels they should have done something earlier in the season, that's Washington too. You're one tweak of the groin away from maybe this thing comes off the rails a little bit. And you've got your best chance to go a long way. I think you need to have that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Experienced backup.
If they made a move there to just give you a little bit more stability.
Security.
Whether it's stepping in for a week, whether it's stepping in for two games in a series, or for the absolute worst scenario, having to take over. But I don't think it's working with Grubauer. Alexander Ovechkin joins Wayne Gretzky and Mike Bossy, the only players to score three goals in each of their first 11 seasons.
Mike Gardner.
30 goals in each of their first 14 seasons or 11 seasons. Mm-hmm. How significant is that?
Well, you consider both of those two guys are in the Hall of Fame. Ovechkin has had, in my mind, his best year in the National Hockey League. Forget about all the other things he's done. Forget about all the
most complete season, right?
Well, because his team, I get a real sense. Anybody you talk to, anybody that you listen to, they talk about his maturity as a leader and how important he has been come to the Caps in so many ways. And so that fact to me says that you combine that with the 30 goals, 11 straight season, is that, you know, he's like a bottle of fine wine. He's gotten better with age.
Well, and I think too is that he's doing it in a league where the goaltending has never been better.
Right.
The defensive systems have never been tougher to penetrate, and goal scoring has never been harder. Goals have never been harder to come by. So that adds to the significance, no question.
Do you know where he is in league scoring in point production?
You're going to tell us.
19th in point production. He's second in goals.
Yeah, their depth. Washington, you talk about not having depth at goal. Washington's depth everywhere else is so good, you know. And what a difference TJ Oshie has made to that hockey club too.
Okay, but we just talked about Sidney Crosby and how people were really concerned about his first half of the season.
Yeah, well, they weren't winning. Washington never stopped winning.
Oh, but
Washington never stopped winning.
No. But there's concern as much about Pittsburgh's record as there was about Sidney Crosby's individual performance. Sidney's a top 10 player in point production.
Like I said, Washington never stopped winning, period. They're the only team in the league right now with single-digit losses. From the get-go, from that first week in October, they have been so impressive, you know, with Kuznetsov doing what he's done, with Oshie doing what he's done. John Carlson on the back end has had a great season. Matt Niskanen's played well. You know, they and Braden Holtby. I mean, they have done everything, and their depth is great. When Marcus Johansson comes back, their depth is going to be even better. You know, Mike Richards has filled in where Mike Richards was supposed to be. Jay Beagle, before he got hurt, was doing a great job. They're the most complete team in hockey right now, which is why they're winning. And I think when you're that good and that consistent, individual stuff, I don't think people pay attention as much. And to be able to spread out all that offense.
And again, he does have the 30 goals.
Right. But to spread out all that offense through, you know, 2.5 lines is remarkable.
Want to send our best to Malcolm Subban, who took a puck to the throat, fractured larynx, on Saturday night during warm-up, stable in condition, sidelined indefinitely. But want to send our best, John Shannon, along with Scott Morrison. I'm Darren Millard in Hockey Central. And wasn't wearing a dangler, I'm told. One of those.
How does that How do you not have that for every goaltender?
Should be mandatory.
Shouldn't?
Should be mandatory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some guys don't like them. They're too noisy. They get caught up.
It's just like skate guards for defensemen, right? Mm-hmm. They should be mandatory too, but they're not.
The boot protector?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness.
I thought you were thinking skate guards. I was thinking.
Oh, yeah. No, like the ones they do. Do you remember?
Yeah, yes. There's one guy every year on your team that goes that forgets to take him off and steps out there and ends up.
It's usually at the Winter Classic, right?
We are going to get to the Tim and Sid thing in just a minute. But first, there's going to be an appeal of the Dennis Wiedemann suspension heard by Gary Bettman this Wednesday.
Yep.
What is going to be different? How is this going to evolve?
Well, in the simplest of terms, I think there are two people on trial on Wednesday. Obviously, Dennis Wiedemann. But at the same time, I think Colin Campbell's a bit on trial, too, because he will be interviewed by the commissioner on the process that he went through to give Weidman the 20 games. And whether that's make sure every note that Campbell has, but make sure every discussion point that was in the meeting, the minutes, obviously the minutes of the hearing, will be reviewed, and it'll be saying, okay, cool. If I am going to look at this, why did you make this decision at 20 games, Colin? And that'll be what Bettman has to decide. So it's almost that Campbell and Weidman are on trial together.
It's the wording of the PA statement is interesting. The facts, including the medical evidence presented at the hearing, clearly demonstrate that Dennis had no intention to make contact with the linesman. So medical evidence. Yeah. Is that the suggestion that he was concussed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's... Again, this goes back to concussion protocol, which is how we got onto the Babcock discussion. You know, the interesting thing out of it, as I understand out of the hearing, was that the Flames understood that there would be some level of suspension. They didn't want the harshness of 20 games, but they understood that there would be a level of suspension. The Players Association thought there should be zero suspension. And that, to me...
That's rose-colored glasses.
Sure it is. Sure it is. I mean, you have to respect the officials at some level. The video used Jake Muzzin on Kelly Sutherland, Yannick Weber on Don Henderson, which were both viewed as accidental collisions, were made to say they compared positively to Weidman on Henderson. And I'm sorry, I just don't see that if you're talking about looking at information.
Well, can you go to a zero tolerance when it comes to contact with an official? I don't think that's realistic.
I think 40.2 puts that in perspective. The biggest issue, the issue is that the officials did not see this either on the ice. There was no report post-game put in by the officials. That really created that gave Colin Campbell a blank canvas to create a suspension. But why didn't the officials see it? Was that so far away from the play that they couldn't see it? And in fact, why wasn't Henderson more involved? But he was obviously dazed as well, and hasn't officiated since.
Anyway, he didn't know what happened.
No, I know.
They'll re-present all the evidence that they had in the first one, because Gary Bettman was not involved in the initial hearing.
Was not involved simply for the fact that there was an anticipation that it would be appealed.
So do you think anything will change after Wednesday?
No, I don't. I think that he'll uphold 20 games, and then it'll be the first time in this collective bargaining agreement we go to the gentleman named George Nicolau, who's the independent arbitrator that both the Players Association and the league have agreed on as to be the third party man to hear these situations.
What about you, Scotty?
Yeah, I would be surprised if it goes down. I don't think they came by this number by accident. And, you know, Gary not being involved is the hockey ops people who would have weighed in on it. I think they would have felt that comfortable with that number. Maybe it's a bigger number because they suspect it might go down under the appeal process. I don't know how much of that logic goes into their thinking. But I got to think that the feeling in that office amongst people, there would have been pretty much a widespread agreement that that number was the right one from their perspective. Gary wouldn't differ too severely.
But if Dan O'Halloran had seen it and called 40.2 on the ice, it was automatically 20 games.
Yeah.
Yes.
Automatically. So it's not as if Coley pulled
But it's not
this.
The first time officials missed something on the ice that ended up being a suspension.
No, but
involving
it's
players.
It's not as if that this number was pulled out of the blue.
No.
This number did have some grounds.
No, historically it's been a part of it.
Right. But Colin Campbell could have given him anything.
Yes, from the sounds of
it. He chose to invoke Rule 40.2.
Correct.
And put in place where... Yeah.
I certainly
games.
Don't think it deserved more. I thought the 10 range might be where it came in.
Florida against Detroit tonight. Big game in the Atlantic Division. Tampa Bay and Ottawa. You watch that one on Game Center Live. So you've got some movement potential in the Atlantic Division tonight. The Ducks against the Penguins and two teams that have found their stride. That's at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet. And the New York Rangers, without Ryan McDonagh, take on the New Jersey Devils on Game Center Live from Madison Square Garden. Darren Millard here with John Shannon and Scott Morrison.
I think, are we out of time? We've got to go now?
The time has come.
No, we have to go now, don't we?
It's a Super Bowl weekend past, so...
Hey, can I say one thing before we do that? Hockey Day in Canada Saturday. The highlight for me of Hockey Day in Canada was Bob Cole meeting Connor McDavid. That was, to me, was one of those situations, and I've been around enough around Hockey Night and around Bob. I know that Danny Galavan for many years had a great relationship with Wayne. I know Bob had a special relationship with Wayne, and to see that extended to this generation with the great Bob Cole meeting Connor McDavid before the game in Montreal gave me shivers.
Yeah, it was.
It really did give me shivers.
It really was special.
Such a uniqueness for that generation of announcers.
Oh, yeah, well, the different breed, different style. You know, announcers are taught differently now. Their toolbox of what they bring to the game is different than what Bob Cole brings.
And Galavan, Cole, Hewitt were the only voices you heard.
Sure.
For the longest time. They were, you know, witnesses to history and, you know, the voices of the game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Think we'll ever see just a pure play caller again?
No, I think TV production people will screw it up.
Would you like to see it again?
I don't think you could.
Why?
Because I think the viewer expects more. I really do. I think the viewer expects more from the play-by-play guy.
Because when you have three guys, two-color commentators part of a broadcast.
Yeah, I know. No, I know. But listen, some of the greatest games, Danny Galavan, Dick Irvin, Lou Nanny, three guys in the booth. This is in the 70s. You know, Stanley Cup Final 1980, Jim Robson, Gary Dornhofer, Mickey Redmond.
It's a different game to call now.
Well, that's the other thing. And that's why
the play of the game is different.
Would I love to see someone like Bob's style continue? Absolutely. As I said, I think TV production people, and I put myself in that list, we'd screw it up. We will. We'd screw it up.
You wear a lot of hats, don't you?
No, I don't. No.
Not with the new Harry doesn't.
So, I see.
No, but you've covered. You're now an announcer.
Yes, I am.
You are a former TV executive.
Yes.
You also dabble in the acting side of things. This is Tim and Sid going into Super Bowl 50 weekend, where they played 50 Cent lines from 50 Cent lines from Super Bowl Media Day, Super Bowl 50 Media Day, and lines from 50 Shades of Grey. John Shannon pulling off a line from 50 Shades of Grey. Enjoy.
Play it again.
Oh, my. I felt it, too. Desire pools dark and deadly in my groin.
That was Friday on Tim and Sid. I also read some lines for that segment. I stopped short of that one. I give you all the credit in the world.
I have but one question.
For offering that.
Regrets?
Regrets. I've had a few. No.
John,
no regrets.
John, that was spectacular.
Come on.
That was outstanding.
Thank you.
I never want to ever see it again.
No, I didn't.
So now it's
by the way,
John Shannon, thespian.
Neither do I.
I think you should do an audiobook of 50 Shades and release it.
By the way, Jen,
have you seen 50 Shades?
No, I haven't even. I've
so you just
got,
you
he's
just,
got 50 Shades of Red happening right now.
Did you ask them, what's my motivation here, before you read that line?
Yeah, well, they were supposed to give me a cognac snifter.
Should have given you cognac.
Well, I know, well, one would assume.
Well done. I give me a little love there. That was... Yeah. You, I think that Saturday pre-game show.
Yeah, it's changed things.
It's altered you.
It's got a new segment.
We're back next Saturday. Popular demand.
Send in your pucks.
Send in your pucks. Yeah.
To PJ Stock, Jeff Merrick, and John Shannon. Yeah, you've grown in your performances.
Okay, good.
Now, weight isn't always a good thing, but...
No,
I didn't mean that.
Why'd you have to go there?
Sorry, I don't have time to bail myself out of this. Darn it.